Good morning, Home Church. My name is Michael Metzger, and I'd like to thank you for joining us this morning here on the Home Church podcast. As always, take this time to get settled in as we prepare to worship our Lord and dive into His Word. Please don't forget that our church offices will remain closed through the end of April due to the COVID virus. Just in case, we have a brand new Home Church YouTube channel that has launched earlier this month. Join us on YouTube this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. as Pastor Carlos will be sharing a brand new pastor study video. We'll be sure to post the study video to our Facebook page as well. While I'm talking about our YouTube channel, we just want to take a moment and thank Miss Anita and the kids who were involved in making the Home Kids video last week. My little girls, Madison and Mackenzie, were glued to the TV, and they absolutely loved the story that was shared. As a matter of fact, they kept asking to watch the video over and over again. So if you guys missed it, you definitely want to head over to our YouTube channel and check it out. And while you guys are there on our YouTube channel, be sure to like the videos, subscribe to our channel, and click the notification bell so that you don't miss out on any more of our videos. Just search for Home Church NV on YouTube. We will also send out the link in an email and post it to our Facebook page. We're now going to move into a time of giving and worship. Again, we just want to thank all of you who continue to be faithful in your tithes and offerings. Please continue to give your tithes and offerings online or by mail if you're able to. If for some reason you can't give online or don't have the ability to mail a check, please don't hesitate to reach out for assistance. You can reach out to myself or Jeannie, and we can make arrangements to make sure that your tithe or offering is received to honor God and keep supporting His work here at Home Church. Let's pray. Father God, your word says that when we give to the needy, we're not to announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites did in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Instead, Lord God, you tell us that those hypocrites have received their reward in full. But when we give to the needy, we're not to let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that our giving may be in secret. And then, Father, then you tell us that you will see what is done in secret, and you will reward us. Lord, we ask that you reward our blessing, these offerings, multiply them and use them so that your will may be done. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you bless this time of worship as our brother Josh leads us in song. We come to you, Lord God, to give thanks. Let us make a joyful noise. Let us rejoice and sing your praises. And Father God, I lift Pastor Carlos up to you right now. Lord God, my pastor is preaching your word faithfully, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. Let him preach the truth of your words. He's on the front line and is an easy target for the enemy, Lord God. I just pray your protection and favor over Pastor Carlos and his family. Thank you, God, for what you will do in and through Pastor Carlos today and every day. In your name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. For those of you that are at home, wherever you're at, I would encourage you to stand to your feet as we worship the King of Kings. Shake off those heavy bones. We are in the presence of God. We thank you so much, Lord, for your faithfulness. And we acknowledge how great you are. Sing with me. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. Don't see how great. And how great is our God. Lift your hands to the King. How great is our God. How great is our God. See with me how great is our God. And all see how great. How great is our God.
Church, I want you to do me a favor this morning. Before we go into worship, I want you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, right now, if you would do that with me. Proverbs 19, verse 11. We're going to read a very simple and short scripture before we enter in this morning. Gosh, God, you're so good. Proverbs 19, verse 11. And it reads, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. We need God this morning. As we worship, let this scripture, let his word just sink into your heart, into your spirit. May your heart be softened this morning to be able to receive what God has to say. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Our brother Josh is going to lead us now to sing, and I want to encourage you, wherever you're at, to sing with us, to worship with us, to engage wherever you're at. Hallelujah.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountain. Lord, we exalt you this morning. We give you all the glory. Help us during this time, God. We pray that you would encourage us through your word, that you would build us up, Lord God, to be what you want us to be, Lord, that we would surrender all to you, no matter what the circumstances. We ask your anointing, your blessing upon your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. Church, what a beautiful day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing, and we are so glad in it. Hallelujah. How's everyone this morning? Good. Okay. All right. I'm just imagining what you're saying right now as I'm here in this building with only a few people, and I just want you to know I'm thinking of you. My heart goes out to you. My arms reach out to you, and I'm hugging you right now. As you walk through the doors of those church, of this church, as you walk through the doors of the church, I'm giving you a big old hug. And so I'm so happy and just grateful for you to be able to join us. If you're visiting with us this morning, welcome to Home Church of the Nazarene podcast. We are so glad to have you. And if you've been tuning in every week, thank you again. So I'm preaching a sermon, and I've entitled it Remembering to Forgive During COVID. And this is part two. My sermon was finished and completed Wednesday, and the Lord said, no, we're going to change things up a bit. And I'm like, really? No, I think it's good. And I couldn't sleep, and you know how that goes. And when you always argue with God, I don't know if you know this by now, but if you haven't, you'll find out real quick, you never win. And so I said, Lord, you just take it from me. And so this morning, I hope this message speaks to you, Remembering to Forgive During COVID, part two. Amen. It is no secret that if you keep living, it's just a matter of time, you will be offended. Someone is going to do something to you to upset you. You can't escape it. You can't run from it. It's going to happen. So, a recap of last week, we've talked about how we've all sinned. We have sins, with an S, and we need forgiveness. And our God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But not only just to forgive us, he also cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we read Matthew 6:14-15. If we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if we don't forgive men their trespasses, our Father in heaven won't forgive us. We touched on the word forgiveness, which means to lay aside, to send it away, to clear the record. And taking those things, those hurts that people do to us, they say to us, and lay it aside. It's not easy. Not to make a mental file box, right, of all the wrongs that have been done to us, which, man, let me be the first to admit, I've done that. But you ever know somebody who they have a file box with all the offenses, people who have hurt them, and it's a huge file box, you know? And your name doesn't even start with an A or end with an A, and you're the first one in it. I mean, your name starts with a J or an M, and you're right there at the front. I mean, that's not what God has called us to do, right? He's called us to forgive, to move forward, to keep going, not to allow those things to hinder us. Because what I've realized is this: if you're not able to forgive, that can affect your relationship with God. And I don't know about you, but that circumstance or situation is not worth me losing out on my relationship with God. So I want to highlight this morning a way of thinking, a perspective that would empower you to forgive others, but not only just to forgive, but to have the favor of God in your life, even when offenses come. Sounds too good to be true, right? It's a two-in-one. I'm not talking about a buy one, get one here. This is better than that. God here this morning wants to give you favor, empower you to forgive, even when offenses come. So I have 2 points to this message, and we'll get to the points later. And we'll be reading out of Genesis chapter 45. So if you want to turn there with me, Genesis chapter 45. Amen. Let me get some water real quick. Excuse me, folks. Joseph, I would say there's nowhere in the Bible that illustrates what I'm going to be talking about like the life of Joseph. Joseph was one of 12 sons born to a man named Jacob. And Jacob loves Joseph, right? Jacob, his father. Jacob admired his son so much, he even gave him a Gucci sweater. You can read the Bible, man. That's what it is. The Bible says he gave him a robe, but when you say robe these days, it doesn't sound that appealing. Back in those days, it was an awesome thing. A Gucci sweater, today's terminology. You know you're getting old, by the way, when you ask for a robe, a bathrobe for Christmas, and your kids are like, really, Dad? That's what you want? Yeah, I want a bathrobe. So I'm going to use the term Gucci sweater, Prada sweater, you know, today's terminology. So this already put him in a bad spot with his brothers, and one day Joseph had a dream, and Joseph made the mistake of telling his brothers about his dream. How many of you know sometimes you can't tell everyone what your dreams are? Just a way of life. He had a dream that his brothers bowed down to him. Let's just say his brothers didn't like that dream. The Bible says his brothers plotted to kill him. His brothers plotted to kill him. But they decided instead of killing him, they would sell him into slavery, right? So they dipped his coat in blood and told their father a beast killed him. So they sold Joseph. The men who bought Joseph ended up selling him to a man named Potiphar. And Potiphar just so happens to be a general in the Egyptian army. And he was a captain. And so now Joseph ends up being a slave in Potiphar's house. While Joseph was in Potiphar's house, he did his job so well that he ended up taking over the house, kind of in charge. And in the scripture, when you have your own time, we're not going to read the whole entire story, as I'm going to try to go through the story as quick as possible. The Bible even says that Potiphar didn't even know what was in his house, so he would ask Joseph what was in his house. So things are going good for Joseph, right? Kind of. I mean, you get sold into slavery and trying to live life, but something happens one day. And for those of you who know the story, you already know where I'm going with this. Something happens one day. The Bible says that Joseph was a handsome man. An example of that, let's see, you just think of me right now, okay? A handsome man. No, I'm joking, church, I'm just playing. The Bible says Joseph was a handsome man. And Potiphar's wife, Mrs. Potiphar, cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she grabs Joseph and says, "Come, lie with me." And what does Joseph do? What does Joseph do? Joseph runs for his life. Joseph's a man of character. God give us men and women of character, amen? Joseph's a man of character, and his shirt now is in her hands, and her husband comes home, and she tells her husband that Joseph tried to sleep with her. So then Potiphar casts Joseph into prison. Joseph goes from being his father's favorite. And let me remind you that his father wasn't a poor man. His father had some means. So Joseph had freedom, and now he's a slave. And then while being a slave, he's given something to do. He's treated maybe a little better than the rest. But now he's in prison. He goes to jail because of something he has not done. Joseph's in jail now, and he meets up with these two guys that we read who worked for the Pharaoh, right? For the king. One was the cupbearer, and the other one was the baker. And one night, these two guys have a dream, and they're asking Joseph, "What does this mean, man? I got this dream." And Joseph interprets their dream. He says to the baker, "Your dream means in 3 days you're going to die." And he says to the cupbearer, "Your dream means in 3 days you're going to be released from jail and restored to your position." And Joseph tells him, he tells the cupbearer, "All I ask, man, all I ask is that you remember me. Just remember me." And you got to just put yourself there. I'm sure the cupbearer said, "Oh yeah, for sure, man, for sure. If I get out of here, you better believe it. Are you serious? That's what my dream means? Yes, you're going to be out of here. Just all I ask is you remember me. Hey, Joseph, I got you. Don't even worry about it." You know? So 3 days later, the baker's dead, just like Joseph said. And the cupbearer is released to his position. Does he remember Joseph? Does he remember Joseph? No, he forgot all about Joseph. Here's Joseph. So many things has happened to him, and I can't really see that he's done anything wrong. And if anyone had a reason to be bitter about life, Joseph did. The reality is, there's going to be things that happen to you that can easily cause you to become bitter, upset, mad, angry. But we got to learn how to handle the offenses that life hands to us. If you don't learn how to handle offenses, how to handle people treating you wrongly, forgetting about you, talking about you, damaging your reputation, if we don't learn how to deal with those circumstances of life, then we will find ourselves not reaching the destiny that God has for us. So Joseph now is still in jail, right? He told the cupbearer, "Hey, remember me." He's forgotten about Potiphar. Everybody's living their life, and Joseph, but now Pharaoh, the king, Pharaoh has a dream. that no one can interpret. And then all of a sudden, the cupbearer remembers Joseph. He said, wait, there's actually a guy. Oh, man, I forgot about him. He's over there in the jail. He interpreted my dream, right? So they call Joseph to interpret the dream, and he tells Pharaoh, your dream means you're going to have 7 years of prosperity, right? And then you're going to have 7 years of famine. And because he interprets Pharaoh's dream, immediately, he's released from prison and gives charge over taking management over all of Egypt over the years of prosperity to get them ready for the years of famine. Like this. I mean, just immediately. Now, this is what I love about this story. Here's a man who could have been bitter, upset, angry because of all the things that have happened to him. But instead of him being bitter, he learned that it's better to be better. Instead of being bitter, we can't get bitter. Don't get bitter, church. The difference between being better and bitter is there's an I. If you change your I into an E, you can be better. We got to stop focusing on me. If we stop focusing on the I, stop focusing on ourselves, we won't get bitter. That's why we become bitter, is because when the focus is on us, when the focus is on me. You know, Joseph's not in jail crying. Joseph's not in jail complaining, telling everybody that his brother sold him into slavery, that Potiphar's wife lied. I don't see anywhere here in the scripture any record that he's telling everybody that Potiphar's wife lied about him, that he's not complaining. He learned how to handle his offenses. And I'll be honest with you, this is amazing because my attitude, who I am, knowing me, man, if that would have happened to me, I don't even know if I would have done a good job in Potiphar's house. I mean, here's Joseph. He knew how to handle his offenses. And what's so amazing, because Joseph handled his offenses correctly, when Pharaoh needed him, God used him. And in one day, his life changed. He's locked in jail. He's incarcerated. And in one day, all it takes is one day. God is looking for an opportunity in your life. One moment. The question is, will you be ready? Will you be ready? Right now, things might be going a little crazy. Things might be a little tough. And like I've said before, how we prepare ourselves in this time of life, in this season, will determine how we go into the next. Joseph, right? He's prepared himself, and when he's needed, God uses him. You know, God wants to use you. He wants to elevate everyone. But the problem is, he will not allow us to go into our destiny with certain attitudes, spirits, and you fill in the blank. God can take Joseph from the prison to the palace because how he handled his offenses. God will not allow you to carry the drama of your pain into the prosperity and purpose of your tomorrow. Do you remember when the children of Israel were in Egypt? They got freed from Egypt, from being slaves. They're leaving Egypt, heading to the promised land, right? Going to the place that God has prepared for them, the place that they've been dreaming about, the place that they've been hoping for. It took them 40 years before they could get there. And when they got there, do you remember it was under Joshua's leadership? Moses died, right? Matter of fact, not only Moses, but all the generation that were adults when they left Egypt died. And the only two adults who left Egypt that didn't die, that made it to the promised land, were who? Joshua and Caleb. So God is like, I'm not going to allow this generation to take the spirit that they have of unbelief and bitterness and their complaining spirit to the promised land. What I'm trying to say, church, is we cannot get to our promised land while we're dragging our pains and our hurts and our unforgiveness of yesterday. We have to learn to let it go. Again, if anyone had the right to be upset, Joseph did. He could have been upset at his brothers, right? He could have been upset at his father for not coming and looking for him. He could have been upset at Potiphar's wife. He could have been upset at Potiphar. He could have been upset at the cupbearer. I mean, the list goes on and on. He could have been upset, right? So now Joseph's in charge of Egypt under Pharaoh. And all that stuff has happened to him. This is payback, right? Payback time. He still has the right to be upset and mad. And guess what happens? Famine hits the land, just like Joseph said, right? Famine hits the land. And guess who comes walking through the doors? Take a while. Who comes now walking through the doors of Joseph's office? Joseph's domain. Who comes walking? His brothers come walking through the doors. Can you imagine being there? And just seeing that transpire, I mean, seeing that happen. All of a sudden, now Joseph's true colors come out. Right here. And there are two things that Joseph did that I want to look at. We're going to get to the points now. So if you got a pen and paper, I would encourage you to write this down. Because when I was reading this, that's what stood out to me. And as you read it on your own time, I believe that God will also speak to you in different ways. Genesis chapter 45, verse 3. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. Stop right there. I don't know about you, but I would be a little dismayed too if I'm standing with a bunch of my brothers, and I'm going, hey, this is the guy we tried to kill. And now he has the opportunity to kill us. I would be a little dismayed too when I see that word dismayed in his presence. It didn't say they were excited to see him. They were happy to see him. Hey, man, they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, verse 4, and Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near and said, Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, who you sold into Egypt. So here's my first point. Okay, and I only got 2 points this morning. If you want to learn how to handle offenses, okay, and before I even say this, church, I want you to know, when I preach these sermons, When I preach what God gives me, I'm preaching to myself first. Okay? So please have mercy. I am not casting dispersions. I am not casting stones. No, this is for all of us. None of us is greater. My first point, don't reject your offenders. Write that down. Don't reject your offenders. He says these words, please come near to me. Most of us, our flesh wants to reject the people who've hurt us, right? The people who've left us. The people who we've loved and they've forgotten all about us. The people you've worked with, people you've spent time with, and they leave your life. He says, please come near to me. And we say, don't talk to me. And I'm not saying, folks, that you need to be best friends with everyone, but if you want God's favor in your life and blessing, and you want to grow, you need to learn how to respond the way Christ would respond. Not the way your flesh responds. Please come near to me. I love what Joseph does and how he models for us what Christ does. Joseph right here is dealing with the men who tried to kill him. And he says, come near to me. I want to go to verse 14. Go to verse 14. Here's Joseph. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. Verse 15. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Instead of Joseph pushing them away, he embraced them. Sometimes life, people don't want to be embraced, but you pray for them. When was the last time you prayed for somebody who's hurt you? When's the last time you prayed for your father who's hurt you? When's the last time you've prayed for your children who have hurt you? Maybe for the pastor who hurt you. Maybe for me. For your wife, for your husband. When's the last time you prayed? You know, I asked myself the other night, what would happen to us if God rejected us like we reject people? What would happen to us if God treated us like we treat people who've hurt us? Because I've offended God many times. And I don't know about you, but I thank God that he didn't treat me the way I've treated other people. Let's go back to verse 5. We were at verse 4. Let's go back to verse 5. So his brothers are dismayed. They're sad. But now, Joseph says, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. What? For God sent me before you to preserve life. Church, I don't know if you're seeing this. He's saying, don't be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. I don't know about you, but put yourself there. There are so many people in the Bible, examples of people who had this opportunity to show love and compassion, but yet showed the complete opposite. Put yourself in this situation. What do? The people who hurt you, you now have the authority to hurt them. and some would say the right. But he says, don't be grieved, for God sent me. Somebody say, God sent me. God sent me. Somebody say, God sent me. God sent me before you to preserve life. I love Joseph's perspective. I love the way he's thinking. Joseph went down a road that's so hard for many of us, including myself, to go down. He came to the conclusion that God sent me here ahead of time to help save your life. Verse 7, folks. Let's go to verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8. So now it was not you who sent me here. Oh, my God. It was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. God sent me. God sent me. I got to say, if Joseph would have said verse 7 to his brothers before he even told them about their dream, they would have said, oh, you think you're better than us. Look what Joseph's saying here. God has made me father to Pharaoh. God sent me. God sent me. You know, Joseph never asked God for those dreams. Joseph never asked God. When you read these verses, some would say that Joseph thinks he's so great, right? That he's just so awesome. But really, Joseph, all he's doing is glorifying God. Church, don't let anyone ever make you feel that you can't tell the world what Christ has done in your life. Because he deserves the praise and the glory. Joseph understood that everything that has happened to him in life did not happen without God noticing or allowing it to happen. God sent me. It wasn't you guys that sold me. And it's like, yeah, no, I understand what you guys are. But God knew all along. Point two, God has an ultimate purpose. God has an ultimate purpose. Write that down. God has an ultimate purpose. Joseph understood this. Here's what I'm trying to say, guys. Joseph understood this. I got to go back to verse 7 and 8 real quick. And God sent me before you to preserve, right? Verse 8. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and all lord of his house and the ruler throughout the land of Egypt. This is what Joseph's trying to say right here, guys. This is what I get out of this when I read it. The only reason why I'm here, the number two man in Egypt, giving out resources in a time of famine, right? The only reason why that's is because I interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And the only reason why I was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream is because the cupbearer told him about me. And the only reason why the cupbearer told him about me is because I interpreted the cupbearer's dream. And the only reason why I could interpret the cupbearer's dream is because I was in prison with the cupbearer. And the reason why I was in prison with the cupbearer is because Potiphar's wife. And the reason why I was with Potiphar's wife is because I was a slave. And the only reason why I was a slave is because you guys sold me into slavery. And the reason why you sold me into slavery is because I was my dad's favorite child. And the reason why I was my dad's favorite child is because God knew back then that I needed to be over here today. God sent me. God sent me. Joseph understood there's no reason to be upset. God sent me here. Joseph realized there's no point in getting upset at God and blaming God for what has happened in his life, which I've done so many times. Joseph realized that's not going to do me any good. Don't worry, guys. God sent me here. All the wrong that has been done in my life, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't be dismayed. God sent me. God sent me here. We need to understand that God is in control. God is the one who calls the shots. Nothing can happen to us that hasn't crossed God's desk. And if he signed off on it, he already knows he put enough in you to overcome whatever that is. He's put enough in you to overcome. He has made you more than a conqueror. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. I'll never forget years ago, I had this written in my notes. I heard somebody say, I used to cry over my past because a lot of bad things have happened to me, but I realized I had to go through what I went through in order to get where I am today. The thing is, though, there's many people who have gone through a lot, but they're still holding on to it. They're not letting go. They're blaming this person, blaming that person, blaming God. And I understand why it's hard to let go. It does you no good to continue to point your finger at your offender. It does us no good to point fingers at the offense. The sooner we stop pointing the finger of blame and we're able to say to our offense, God sent me. You know what? Yeah, it's been rough, but God sent me. This morning, while you're sitting in your living room, in your room, in your car, I would like you to bow your head with me right now. This is a call to ask God to forgive you of unforgiveness or to be forgiven. Right? God, I need to forgive or I need to be forgiven. Before we do that, I want to sing a song, and while we're singing this song, I want you to meditate on all the things in your life that you wouldn't have asked for, things that have happened to you that you would have never asked. I would like that to happen to me so I can, and thank God for those things, because you are who you are today because of that. And some of us right now, we're not at the palace. We're not even close to the palace. But you know what? God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for your life. And maybe right now we're stuck. Maybe right now we're in the middle and we're stuck. And we just need to be reminded we need to let go of some things. Because God sent me. God sent you, and he has a purpose for your life. as we sing out this song, I want you to meditate on God's goodness and what he's done in your life. And also, think of some people that you need to forgive, some people who have hurt you, and people maybe that you have hurt. It's time to let it go. As we sing out this song of worship.
Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, and broken souls. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus, and he will turn your sorrow into joy. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, and broken souls. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus, and he will turn your sorrow into joy.
So this morning, if you're ready to forgive, this morning, if you're ready to let it go and release the offenses and the unforgiveness to God, this morning, if you're ready, you're ready to say, God, I'm going to look at this differently now because I've been looking at this situation through my eyes. I haven't been looking at this through your eyes, all right? Pastor Todd used to say, he would talk about the upper story, the lower story. Many of us are in that lower story. We're just looking through the eyes of men, right? But there's an upper story. God has a plan. He has a purpose. There is an upper story. Will you let go? You say, Jesus, I repent. Jesus, I'm sorry. So if that's you right now, I would encourage you right now, sitting alone or sitting with someone, repeat this prayer with me and let your offenses go. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins. I repent for my unforgiveness. I let it go. I let them go. Lord, I forgive myself. Thank you for the salvation you give. Thank you for the cross, for your blood poured over my soul. I do believe that you died and rose on the third day. In Jesus' name. Church, many of us have been talked about. We've been rejected. We've been disciplined when we didn't do anything wrong. But this morning, I want to encourage you to tell the devil that I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to hold this in my heart any longer. I let it go because God sent me. And broken souls, oh, yes, give them all. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams and wounded hearts and broken souls. Give them all. Yes, give them all. Give them all to Jesus, and He will turn your sorrows into joy. Let's sing that out one more time. Give them all, give them all. Give them all, give them all. Give them all.
Give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, and broken souls. Give them all.
Give them all.
Give them all. Turn your sorrows into joy.
Proverbs 19:11, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. The Apostle Paul said it best. I end with this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Be blessed this morning. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.
My life a prayer to you. I wanna do what you want me to. No empty words and no white lies. No token prayers, no compromise. I wanna shine the light you gave through your Son. You sent to save us from ourselves and our despair. It comforts me to know you're really there. Oh, I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I'll have to trust. To me. you gave to me, the love that set me free. I want to tell the world out there, you're not some fable or fairy tale that I have made up inside my head. You're God, the Son. Share the love that set me free.